Welcome, ladies, to the Women's Health Happy Hour podcast. My name is Dr. Dawn Andalone. I am a women's health physical therapist, author, educator, and co-owner of Level 4 PT and Wellness. And this podcast is informative but lighthearted, and we discuss all things women's health in order for you to lead an active and vibrant lifestyle. So, cheers, and let's get started. Hello, ladies. Thanks for joining us again. Camille Martin is my wonderful guest today. She's a registered dietitian. She's a public health writer and former chronic dieter dedicated to helping women quit dieting, set bigger and better goals, and reclaim their excitement for life. So we have lots to talk about today. And this goes hand in hand when people set goals, when it's relating to either weight loss or setting a goal to achieve something, maybe career-wise, or anything to do with their health, really. So we're going to talk about setting goals and talk about some of her specialties and how she can help and motivate other women. So thank you, Camille. Let's say cheers.
Cheers. Thank you so much for having me, Dawn. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. So tell everyone a little bit about how you got started into this field and something that would be able to motivate other women that comes from why you're doing this.
Sure. Well, I accidentally became a dietitian, actually, because it was a goal that I set for myself that I was not planning on setting. And all of that came out of my almost 25-year journey of dieting and failing, starting when I was really about 12 years old. So I started dieting really early on. And long story short, because I know we don't have all day and I could certainly talk all day about this, but really in my late 20s, when I was working in Atlanta and I had my first full-time job and was living alone, I had done so many years of just psychotic yo-yo dieting. I'd had an eating disorder. I was, you know, binge exercising, taking diet pills, the whole gamut. And I finally decided one day that I really just literally could not take it anymore. And I was actually sitting on my couch in tears and saying, you know what, I'm quitting. I'm going to quit doing this. And I was afraid if I quit dieting that I would just gain weight immediately, but the opposite happened. So Yeah, it was really interesting. And I figured out now I can look back and see, and now this is why I've made this my whole career and my life, is that dieting, all that dieting was setting up all kinds of resistance that I was neutralizing by eating because I was an emotional eater. So that's why I never succeeded. That's why nobody succeeds, because diets don't work. And we can get into all of that. But so anyway, long story short, I set a goal of learning about nutrition, learning about how food affects my body. And so I took a class after work at Georgia State University, a nutrition class, and I just kept going. So I became a dietitian just by accident, kind of, but it's the best thing ever. So
yeah. And it connects with you with a personal story too, which is even better.
Oh yeah.
So when it comes to setting goals and someone comes to you and maybe they have a goal of losing weight or just being able to exercise more or setting on a path of something they want to achieve, what are your steps for guiding women on how to actually achieve and set realistic goals?
To set realistic goals with your health, the main two things I focus on are changing your thoughts and changing your habits. And those two things go hand in hand. So I take more of a long-term approach, meaning it's a lifetime approach, really, which doesn't sound fun or inspiring. And people glaze over when, you know, I say, okay, here's what you need to do. It's a lifetime process. But really and truly, what you have to do is just take small baby steps every single day, but you have to have a plan. So you have to choose two or three things that you're working on at any given time. Another reason why diets don't work is because you're trying to make all of these radical changes all at the same time and in a very little amount of time. So if you're setting a goal, say you want to exercise more, you can't just say, I want to exercise more. You need to set a specific goal of I want to exercise, you know, 30 minutes a day, 3 days a week. You don't want to set a goal that's way, way, way far out of the realm of what you're currently doing. You should dream big, and that's absolutely important, but you don't want to make it so small that it's completely unmotivating, but you don't want to set it too big that you give up and fail. So I would say whatever your current status is right now, you would probably just want to amp it up maybe 30 to 40% and say, if you don't work out at all, set a goal for 2 days a week, you know, or if you work out every single day, but you don't feel like you're making enough progress, then maybe add 10 minutes a day or add weights or, and then gradually keep adding small things to it. But I guess really an important part of this too is pick two or three changes and then add, you don't want to just pick one change, try to stick with it, and then you give up, you know, or it's boring. So pick two or three micro changes and add those.
Yeah. And almost like, how often would you say that you reassess and look at it? Is it like weekly, every other week?
Well, I would set a goal of probably a month-long goal just for one area, like say working out. Set your goal that by the end of the month, here's where you want to be. And so every week of that month, you would want to add one tiny change. So pick your four changes. Like, I'm going to add free weights. I'm going to build muscle. I'm going to add free weights. I'm going to increase my, you know, amount of time that I work out cardio by 10 minutes. And every week you add one of those so that by the end of the month, you're making now four changes in total. You start with one, add another. I would just add four per month, I guess. One a week sounds good to me.
Great advice. And what about your environment? Because I know that can definitely impact and whether that's motivating to you would make you want to stick to it.
Yeah, your environment is hugely important. And the problem with your environment is that most people don't, if you're in your environment every single day, you're not noticing it. You know, you forget what's even around you, but your environment is working all the time. And it's either it's pushing you to make changes or make decisions and take action. So if your environment is not set up for your success, it's working actively to push you toward the wrong actions. So you have to take control of it. And that's hugely important. I teach my clients about changing their kitchen environment, obviously, because that's where you are if you're eating. But you can set your environment up to make decisions for you, which meaning that, so for example, if you have foods in your house that you're trying not to eat, like I do, I have two teenagers and we eat pretty healthy, but they like cookies, they like crackers and all that kind of junk. So I keep it hidden away so I can't see it. And it sounds like no big deal, but it's proven psychologically that if you have that added barrier, it's another like 10 seconds that you have to think about it and actually decide what you're going to do rather than just walking through the kitchen like I would be inclined to and just grabbing some cookies off the counter. You know, and then the rest of your day is, who cares? I already ate cookies. I'll eat some more later. I don't need to work out. I'll start tomorrow. But yeah, you have to take control of your environment. It's really, really important.
Yeah. That reminds me of the book I read. I got it around Christmas time called Atomic Habits.
Yes.
I love that one.
I love it. James Clear. I love him. Yeah. So that's actually, when I wrote my book, I read several of his, I don't know if he's written several books. He wrote that one. I read that. I read his blog. So he talks all about that. And have you read The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg?
No.
It's amazing. Yeah, you have to read that too. That's good.
But I love those little hidden tips that it's like you think intuitively that that's the way it should be and that would help you, but it truly is like tried and tested and things psychologically that help you.
Absolutely.
Keep you on track.
Yeah. And well, I have actually, if I can give myself a little shout out, I do have a free guide on my website. It's called Your Ultimate Weight Loss Kitchen and it's free. So if you just go to my website and enter your email address, you can get it for free and I'll show you exactly how to set your kitchen up to make it work for you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Those are good tips that not everybody knows, and like how to even resource that. So that's right. A great idea. Talk about self-esteem, because I know a lot of people struggle with this, and it's mindset. It's like, mm-hmm. what's going on in order to be able to reach those goals, and the mind tricks you play with yourself. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, first of all, your self-esteem, if you've been dieting and failing for years and years, your self-esteem is probably pretty much in the toilet like mine was. So the first step is quit dieting, because that, since they don't work, dieting over and over again, and then failing over and over again over time, just erodes your confidence to the point where you feel sort of, you know, like you're not capable of doing much of anything. So first step is quit dieting. But yeah, to me, building your self-confidence, it involves a lot of different, it's a lot of moving parts, but one of the ones that I have trained myself to do is to watch what I'm saying to myself. And I'm sure most of your listeners have heard of, you know, the inner critic, and we all know what it is, but you're really not paying attention to what you're saying to yourself. So I tell my clients, get a journal, and for at least a day, two or three at best, just drag it around with you. And when you think to yourself, oh my God, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, why haven't I done this yet? I feel like such a loser. I'm so exhausted. I don't feel good. I don't have time. All of this stuff, it's like, it's so draining. And especially the personal insults, you know, God, I'm a loser. Oh, I'm so disgusting. You know, that kind of stuff, which is what I used to say to myself. And I don't think I'm alone. So write it down. And when you look at it on paper, it's like, I can't believe I talk to myself like this. So you write it down and then you look at it. And that's like, you look at it and you say objectively, am I a loser? Like, what does that even mean? No. So you change it to today, I didn't get all the things done that I wanted to get done, and it makes me feel like I could do better. So tomorrow I've got a plan now. You know, you got to make it objective and not, you know, a personal attack. So that's one of the things that I think really helps people a lot. Cause you're not aware of it, just like your environment, it's your mental environment. So,
right. Well, besides self-esteem and just those little tricks and ways to set up your environment, what are some other things that you find helps the women that you work with?
Let's see. Well, journaling is definitely a good one. Figuring out how, what you're saying to yourself, a huge part of eating and having trouble changing what you're, or the way that you're eating. And I say a lot, it's not about the food, it's about the way that you eat the food. It obviously is about the food, but if you don't change the way that you're eating, you know, moving around all these different types of foods and changing your menu is not going to work in the long run. So you really have to change the way that you're thinking and the way that you're eating, and those go hand in hand. So much like I was just saying about writing down what your inner critic is saying, when you're eating, you feel like you're making a split second decision, not even a decision. It's just like automatic. I'm hungry and I grab something and before I know it, I've eaten a carton of Ben and Jerry's, and it was just like, it took 5 minutes. But you're having thoughts that lead up to that binge or that, you know, split second decision. So you have to identify what those are. You have to identify the thoughts while you're in the mid binge, and then the thoughts after. So, oh gosh, I lost my train of thought for a second. Hang on. So what you're thinking while you're eating, it feels almost like you're zoned out, but you're really not. You're having thoughts. And that's a huge missed opportunity. I think people don't get is that they have control over what they're thinking that's pushing them to do what they're doing. So I tell my clients, I want you to take something that you normally binge on, and one day allow yourself to binge. Just stop, don't try to stop yourself, and pay attention to what's happening and what's going on. And then you can uncover all, like, oh, wow, you know, I'm thinking this, I'm thinking that. And it's like, well, you know, this really doesn't make me feel that great. So that's how you start changing, you know, psychologically, which affects everything. So,
yeah, Definitely too. I think when people try to switch things, but they don't switch their mindset or go through some of the emotional stuff that's going on in their head, then their habits are never going to change.
Right. Right.
And it's not going to make a longer impact either. Talk about, you mentioned your book. So talk about that.
Yeah. I read a book last year. It's called Love to Lose, Love Your Life and Watch the Weight Lose Itself. And it's all about what I've just been talking about here, that how to change your thoughts and change your habits simultaneously to get true momentum. So in the book, I teach exactly the whole process, step by step, how to change your thoughts, step by step, habit change methods. And then when you put those together, it just, you know, it skyrockets your results because those two things reinforce each other. But a big part of it is setting a bigger goal that has nothing to do with what you look like, to get excited and, like, you know, dieting and trying to lose weight is all about, like, you're focused intensely on something that you hate about yourself, which is completely demoralizing and soul sucking. So if you set a different goal that has nothing to do with that, that gets you excited and, you know, access your creativity and remember some, you know, long forgotten goals that you had when you were growing up, and just start setting small ones and work toward bigger ones. And that really does, all of that enthusiasm spills over into every area of your life, including your health. So it's a natural process of changing your habits when you're energized and excited. And plus you're too busy to sit around thinking about what you're not supposed to eat today, you know, or what you're going to eat at all. Yeah.
How do you, when people are, like, as the holidays are coming up, for example, so lots of social events, how do you coach your clients how to think about that when there's a lot of temptation and social gatherings and eating out?
Well, I mean, I just say, you know, be nice to yourself. Again, it's the resistance that you create in your mind when we build all of this up, like, oh my God, I'm going to a cocktail party. I'm not supposed to eat carbs. I'm only supposed to have one glass of wine. Maybe I'll just have water. Maybe I shouldn't. I don't know what to do. All of this, like, mental drama. It's like the releasing the resistance that you have toward anything makes you clear-headed, makes you feel in control, and that, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. I mean, you really can. I think this whole thing about going to a cocktail party and, like, binge drinking and binge eating, it's because we're all so, like, oh my God, it's the holidays. I'm going to get out of control and I'm going to gain all this weight. And it's like, if you just go to a party, just chill out, go to a party, have fun, stroll up to the buffet, have a few things. It's really not a big deal. You know, we just create all this mental drama, but be nice to yourself and, yeah, pay attention to what you're thinking. Like, oh, okay, well, do I really want 5 pieces of cheesecake? I really don't want that. It doesn't make me feel good, you know? Or focus on someone during the holidays that you can. I don't really like cocktail parties. I can talk and I can do it, but it's draining to me. So I like to find someone in the corner, you know, and go have a really good conversation. So yeah, find someone you can go out in the hall with and not, so you don't have to stress eat like I used to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is all great information. I want to know, because you got started into this because of personal reasons, what are some, like, two habits that you have to follow or two non-negotiable things that are part of your health routine?
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, and this doesn't apply to everyone, but I get up really super early, like, kind of psychotic. I get up at 4:30, but I am a morning person, obviously, but I have to get up and center myself for my day. If I roll out of the bed and just start, you know, going at my day, that's a recipe for disaster for me. So I get up early. I read something inspiring to set the tone of my day. So that is non-negotiable. And the other thing that I'm really consistent with is meal prep. And I think a lot of women don't put, if you just make this one small change, if you start when you're finished with one meal and you're not hungry anymore, go ahead and just do a couple of small things to prep for the next meal. Because if you already have something chopped up, like you know, bell peppers, whatever, cucumbers, and you sort of throw a salad together. Later, when you're hungry and you're going to eat something, it's already right there waiting on you. If you wait until you're hungry to try to prep a healthy meal, you're not going to do it because you're going to be like, I don't feel like it. I'm hungry. I'm starving. And you're just going to grab whatever. So
yeah,
meal prep is great. If you can set aside 15 minutes a day and just in the morning or at night before the next day, chop some stuff up, get it ready, put it in containers, and guaranteed you will start eating more healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Have it be accessible. That helps the environment too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you have lots of great info, and I am actually going to go to your website and download that freebie you have. That will help. And then where can people find you on Instagram?
Instagram, Camille_Martin_RD. And on Facebook, I'm at Love to Lose is my page.
Love to Lose is your company. Very cool. Uh-huh. And you do virtual visits with people, I assume?
I actually, I am not doing one-on-one counseling anymore right now because I've just gotten so busy. But yeah, I mean, please email me though. Anyone who has a question, I'm always happy to answer questions over email, but it just got time consuming and I maxed out. You know what I mean? Like I can't, I got to work on other creative stuff like writing. So, but I'm here to answer any questions, please.
Great. Well, awesome resource. And it was so nice to chat with you. I know our audience is going to get a lot of great stuff from this episode. So thank you, Camille. Good.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
Yes. So cheers and thanks for listening.
Have you ever heard of Pilates? Well, it is one of the best exercises for women over 40. And if you have not tried it before, you don't know what you're missing. Maybe you have heard it's good for your core, it's good for toning and tightening your abs and your midsection. But more than that, it helps eliminate back pain, neck pain, helps take stress off your joints, and really gives you the best whole body workout. And it's a great balance to running or any other type of fitness activity to really keep you healthy and out of pain for the long run. So if you want to learn more, you can go over to level4pt.com. That's level4pt.com/Pilates and sign up for a free taster. We will take you through our system virtually or in person if you are in the San Diego area. And we'd love to show you what Pilates is all about and how it can make you feel stronger and more energetic in your 40s and beyond.
The information given on this podcast is not intended to apply to every individual's potential injury. It is impossible to give 100% complete accurate diagnosis and prognosis without a thorough physical examination. The information provided is not meant as a substitute for your own professional advice from a healthcare provider or other medical professional. Under no circumstances will Level 4 Physical Therapy and Performance Incorporated or any of our other professionals be liable for any damage caused by reliance on the information that we make available on this podcast.